This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I am Riazullah Alikozai.
And I'm Lily Lukow. Tonight we focus on the 2020 census, as well as bills for dual language education in New Mexico.
We'll speak to Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza of El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos, and Zoe Hughes from New Mexico Asian Family Center.
We will also hear from David Rogers, the Executive Director of Dual Language Education of New Mexico.
As always, we have some community events and great music to share with you.
That's right. Starting with a song to get us in the mood to talk about the census, here is Count On Me by Bruno Mars.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you.
Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza has been an organizer with El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos for several years, and is now their civic engagement and outreach organizer.
Zoe Hughes is a student activist who has been involved with the New Mexico Asian Family Center and other community organizations since she was in middle school. Zoe is currently working at the center to raise awareness about the census.
Now, Brenna Tubers speaks with Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza and Zoe Hughes.
This is Brenna Tubers with Generation Justice, and I am speaking with Zoe Hughes, an organizer with New Mexico Asian Family Center, and Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza, civic and outreach organizer with El Centro de Igualdad y Derechos. Welcome to Generation Justice. Could I please have both of you share a little bit about yourselves and the community organizations that you work for, maybe starting with Rosalinda?
Okay. I work with El Centro de Igualdad de Derechos. My name is Rosalinda Dorado. I started off as a member, and my family was impacted directly by a deportation, and that's when I started organizing and became growing in elections. Started knocking on hundreds of doors with El Centro, and I loved it, and I continue to do so. And now it's the first year that we're going to start doing census work. We usually focus on workers' justice and civil rights and helping impacted families who are victims of wage theft or deportation.
Mm-hmm. Zoe?
I'm Zoe Hughes. I am currently with the New Mexico Asian Family Center, and I got involved in community organizing starting in middle school when I participated in the youth program VIA, which helped to help students really feel like they had a choice in their education and really felt represented in the classroom. And ever since then, I've been involved with organizations like the Southwest Organizing Project, as well as Young Women United. And now I've been more involved with the New Mexico Asian Family Center and have been really involved in helping with voter registration and now census work.
Awesome. Thank you both for that. Could you give us some background on what the census is and how your organizations are working to spread the information to community members? We'll start with Zoe this time.
Okay, so the census is an opportunity every 10 years to get a count of all those that are living in the United States, and it's very important to make sure that everyone is counted accurately so that all communities have adequate representation. And the way that the New Mexico Asian Family Center is really trying to work to promote the census is by trying to reach families and educate the public as much as possible. And the way that I'm helping doing that right now is by going to the schools with the highest Asian populations, such as Manzano High School and some of the elementary schools like Double Eagle. And we're going to hold workshops there for the parents to educate on the importance of the census. And we'll continue doing these workshops until April 1st.
Awesome.
El Centro is going to be knocking on hundreds of doors. We already knocked on 20,000 doors in past year, and educating people on why it's important to participate. We are hitting doors that are usually hard to count. We're ensuring that our lit is not just in English, but also in Spanish and available for other languages. We know the census is working really hard to making sure that people are able to participate in the census. They have created around 50 some different languages for people to be able to request the language that they choose to fill out the census. So we're going to be knocking on doors. We're also going to be training the trainer. We're going to launch also an institute with our own members to do workshops within their own communities, because we know that organizations are the trusted messengers of the communities to ensure that people feel safe to fill out the census. We know that there is this fear, but knowing that our members are the ones knocking on doors, that they're the ones carrying the message, they're the ones that are able to tell their families and neighbors to participate, we know we could get people to participate.
Thank you for sharing both of your work. That was very powerful. The New Mexico State Legislature is currently in session. Can you share a little bit about how lawmakers are supporting your work with the census?
We know at the legislature just recently they passed a bill for census resources to be allocated. And when we were out there talking to our legislators, telling them the importance of why the census is important and why we need to ensure that we get an accurate count, because we know that the census is going to impact resources such as Medicare, CHIP, schools, roads, hospitals, how our state looks like is impacted, especially with the resources and the representation. And they were with us, and we wanted to thank them for their bipartisan vote.
Mm-hmm. Zoe, do you have anything to add?
Just like she said, the legislature has been very supportive of this because they know how important it is for an accurate count to be made so that everyone gets the resources we need in education and in the community in general.
I feel like you have both answered this question a little bit, but if you wanted to go into it a bit more, why is the census important for New Mexicans, and what are some public programs or resources that rely on census data for funding?
The census is really important because we are very undercounted. A lot of our minority communities are. For example, 1 in 3 Native Hawaiians or Pacific Islanders live in hard-to-count census areas. 1 in 5 Asian Americans live in hard-to-count census areas. And also because the Asian American and Pacific Islander community is one of the fastest-growing communities in the U.S., it's important that we are adequately counted, even though we might live in hard-to-count areas. Mm-hmm. And the census is extremely important because it can be used to redistribute funding for things like education in schools, mm-hmm. Infrastructure, hospital and health services, business investments, emergency and disaster programs, and it's also very important that we're adequately counted because it can affect the political representation we have as well. Mm-hmm. And I think also specifically in my Asian and Pacific Islander community, one of the biggest things that the census can do is allow us to get more funding in terms of translation, and which is really important in the healthcare, in education, and it's something that we're lacking in right now.
Mm-hmm. We know here in New Mexico, 53% of Hispanic population lives in areas that are hard to count, and that's why El Centro will be focusing on that. We know 45% of youth and children in New Mexico live in areas that are considered also hard to count, and that's why we need more resources for our organizations that to take this message. Also, for every person that is not counted in a course of 10 years, we're losing on $30,000.
Awesome. Thank you for that information. So how can folks get involved with census taking efforts, and where can they go to find out more about the census?
So there's a lot of different ways you can get involved in the census. You can reach out to organizations like the New Mexico Asian Family Center or El Centro, or any organization that really supports your community. And there's a lot of different outreach programs that you can be a part of. Personally, for the New Mexico Asian Family Center, we are hosting a workshop every few weeks to train people to become census liaisons, which means that they can then take what they learn about the census and bring it into their own communities and provide fact sheets and even host their own workshops where they think is most beneficial in their community. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved. There's a lot of information online. A really helpful website is countusin2020.org, which has a lot of census fact sheets translated into over 20 languages. So that's also a very good resource to go to as well.
Cool. Those sound like really awesome opportunities to get involved with the organization, but also to learn a little bit more about the census. So, Rosalinda?
The best way for people to get involved is pledge. Pledge that you will fill out the census for everyone in your household. Pledge that you will help your neighbors, your family, ensure that they do fill out the census, because those are people that we know we could carry the message and push them into doing it. And also getting involved with your nonprofit. Like I said earlier, the census is only the first step. We need to ensure that we get those resources allocated correctly. We need to ensure that after that we get fair representation and we get people that are actually going to represent our communities of color, our hard-to-count communities as well. And there's a saying that's going around for the organizations that are working in this, and it's called Our Monies, Our Voice, Our Future, and we stand hard for it. So if people want to get involved and want to learn more about the census, reach out to El Centro de Igualdad de Derechos to maybe get a training or resources to pass out pledge cards and ensure that you get the information to your communities, families, neighbors. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
You know, there's a lot of questions about how much you can help other people fill out the census and like how involved you can get with other people, because a lot of times what happens is people who are having difficulty filling out the census either don't have it in a language that they can understand, or they just don't understand what they're filling out, that kind of thing. And so I think one important thing for people to know is that you can find translated versions of the census online, and you can also call in and fill it out over the phone and hear it in a translated version as well. And another helpful thing is that if you want to go into your community and help other people fill out the census, you can help them fill it out, like, with your own computer. As long as they each fill out their own census form online, you can do that. You can go out and help other people. And you can help your family members and your community members fill out the census on paper as well. You can just help walk them through it. If you know, then you can help others know as well. And I think just one of the biggest things is that it's important that everyone has the right information about the census, and you can help educate your community members on that.
Thank you.
One thing I would like to add is the census will be launching on March 12th online, and through mailers, it's going to be on April 1st. And if people don't want to get people knocking on their doors because, I don't know, there's a fear right now of answering the door or not, please fill it out before the launch day for people to start knocking on doors. So if you could do it online or through the phone beforehand, do so. This will help a lot to ensure that people get it done as soon as possible, because sometimes we wait till the last minute to do something and sometimes we forget. So it's really important. March 12th, please fill it out online. El Centro will be providing access for people if you don't have internet or computers or you need help to do so, to come to El Centro de Igualdad de Derechos, and I'll be happy to help you out. Again, my name is Rosalinda Dorado from El Centro de Igualdad de Derechos.
Yeah. Zoe and Rosalinda, for sharing all of your powerful words and your powerful work. I think it's going to be very informative for the public, and I was very honored to be with you in the studio today.
Thank you guys for having us. This is an amazing program.
Yeah, thank you so much for hosting this. It's really important that everyone hears about this. Mm-hmm.
For Generation Justice, I'm Brenna Tubers.
Thank you so much, Rosalinda and Zoe, for the outreach you both are a part of to take away the fear of the census. The work you both do is so important to underrepresented populations in New Mexico.
This year, the U.S. Census Bureau released a song to encourage folks to participate in 2020 census. Here is This Is Me, performed by Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander artists.
When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna save the flag, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come.
And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen.
I make no apologies. Listen to me.
David Rogers is the executive director of the Dual Language Education of New Mexico.
Dual Language Education of New Mexico is an organization that works to develop, support, and advocate for high-quality dual language education in New Mexico.
Now, Barbara Ramirez speaks with David Rogers.
I'm Barbara Ramirez with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with David Rogers, the executive director of Dual Language Education of New Mexico. Welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you, Barbara. It's good to be here.
Could you please tell us about yourself?
Sure. I'm a dual language educator. I've been in education since 1987. Mostly I've enjoyed my time in the classroom. I was a first grade teacher all the way up through middle school. For about 15 years, I taught in several of those different grade levels. And then I went into becoming a principal at a South Valley school here in Albuquerque and love that experience. And now, of course, I work with Dual Language of New Mexico. But I think most important to me is I'm a father of four daughters who are all bilingual, multilingual, and just very, very proud of what these young ladies are turning out to be and what they're committing themselves to doing in this life. So,
thank you for sharing that. Dual Language Education of New Mexico has made great strides. Please tell us about the mission and your vision for the organization.
Well, thank you. That's a good question. Our mission is to support and advocate for K-12, K-16 dual language education. And we're involved in advocacy, research, program development at the highest levels. But the most important job that we have in dual language ed, and I think where our heart began in this organization and continues to be the focus, is with supporting the teacher in the dual language classroom. So professional development, professional growth is really our obsession in this nonprofit. And as part of that obsession, it's also our belief that we're all experts to some degree in the classroom. And so we spend a lot more time having teachers or encouraging teachers to share their best practice or their promising practice with their colleagues and with other school communities than we do in actually telling them what they need to do to be better. I think that kind of captures why we are still very much alive and thriving as a nonprofit and continuing to grow. And we're always looking for other opportunities to identify the experts and to have them share out, again, their promising practices that they have to support one another.
Why is dual or multi-language education so important?
Oh, gosh, it's just so important. I was just looking at some data the other day that shows that over 50% of the people on this planet are actually bilingual or multilingual. And yet in the United States, it continues to be only 10% of educated people that seek or commit themselves to developing two or more languages in their lives. We, unfortunately, in our country have still in the political environment this warped belief that one language, English being that language, is the only language of importance. And we see it permeating through our educational system, for one, but also in our politics, in our religious practices. And that needs to change. I think that needs to change because if the U.S. is to only focus on English or only to focus on one language, that's going to continue us down a path of isolation from the rest of the world. And we have so much to learn. And of course, for our own survival, in order for us to survive on this planet, we've really got to work together. And that requires us learning other languages. And not just learning other languages, but the cultural foundations of those languages as well.
¿Me podrías decir, es la misma pregunta, cuál es la importancia de la educación multilingüe?
Mira, en el mundo tenemos casi la mitad de la población en este planeta hablan dos o tres idiomas o más, ¿verdad? Sin embargo, aquí en este país, en los Estados Unidos, solamente 10% de nuestra población están desarrollando dos o más lenguajes, ¿verdad? Y ese es un problema. Entre la política, escuchamos mucho que, recibimos el mensaje siempre que el inglés es el único idioma que vale, ¿verdad? Y ese es, bueno, ¿cómo lo voy a decir? Que it's horrible para pensar así, ¿verdad? Porque estamos cerrando, voy a decir, puertas a otras partes del mundo. Tenemos tanto para aprender de nuestros vecinos, ¿verdad? Y de los otros países que hay en este mundo. Y si queremos entregarnos más en las vidas y en la política, en la educación de la otra gente de otras partes del planeta, tenemos que ponernos atención en cómo aprender y desarrollar otros idiomas, ¿verdad? Y no solamente hablar el idioma de otra gente que existe en este planeta, pero también entender la cultura, ¿verdad? La fundación, decimos, cultural que ellos tienen, ¿verdad? Porque no solamente queremos ir ahí para otras partes del planeta para tomar vacación, por ejemplo. Queremos platicar con ellos, entender su cultura, entender su política, ¿verdad? Negociar acuerdos, ¿verdad? Para que podamos sobrevivir juntos en este planeta. Negociar contratos para que podamos meternos en proyectos de ¿cómo decimos? Business, ¿verdad? Uh-huh. En los mercados que existe, ¿verdad? Si queremos aprovechar los recursos que existen en todo el mundo, tenemos que aprender otros idiomas y entender la cultura de otra gente.
Estoy de acuerdo con eso. Gracias por tu traducción.
Sí, gracias.
Muy bien, muy buen español. How does language access provide a more equitable education experience for people?
There's so many ways to respond to that, but I think I'll respond in the dual language way, and that is that an important component of dual language education is not only to learn another language or to be academically proficient in two or more languages, but it really is to come to understand the cultures of other people. So in other words, when we recruit and enroll students to participate in the dual language classroom, we don't ask them to leave their culture and their heritage language at the door. We invite them to bring that into the classroom with them, and that we try not only to teach the traditional content areas in two or more languages, but we also want to build upon the linguistic and cultural assets of those students as well. And so I loved first grade as a teacher. For 7 years, I stayed there. I want to thank Dora Ortiz, my principal, for convincing me that I could do first grade. I had taught upper grades for quite a while. Because in the first grade classroom, so much happens. It's the year that the light bulb goes on for so many kids who are just beginning to read. But what I loved in my classroom is I had native English speakers and I had native Spanish speakers. And they each had a turn at taking the lead and supporting one another, depending on the language that we were focused on for our instruction. So if the morning time was in Spanish, well, my native Spanish speakers were, of course, sought out by their native English-speaking peers to help them not only navigate the academic tasks that I was setting out for them, but also navigate the linguistic requirement of that task. It didn't matter which of their languages they used in order to complete the task, but at the end of that particular task, si yo lo presenté en español, they had to report out to me in Spanish or español. And if it was in English, the activity, then they had to, at the end of it, report out to me in English and tell me what they had come up with. So it allowed all of the kids to have equitable access to the experience of being a leader, to the experience of being the one who's in the know and had something to offer their neighbor. So I think that the dual language classroom lends itself in a perfect way to make sure that that is always there and that all students are given equitable access.
Thank you for sharing that. That's great. I understand that there is some important legislation on dual language and multicultural education that is being introduced at the New Mexico State Legislature. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, and actually, let me just explain it this way. In the last 25 years in the Roundhouse here in Santa Fe, we've only had one real bill that has been put forth over a two-year period that was unanimously accepted on both the Senate and the House side that supported the expansion or the strengthening of bilingual education, and that was the famous Sello, the seal of bilingualism by literacy that was passed and is now offered in dozens of high schools here in our great state. Apart from that, it was the only piece of legislation we had seen that had been presented over 25 years that really worked to strengthen bilingual multicultural education. Now this year, which is the second legislative session after the court ruling on the Yazzie Martinez case, we are seeing finally, our policymakers, our legislators, getting behind a long list of remedies that we have developed in response to the court ruling. At the center of these remedies is the need for strengthening and expanding K-12 bilingual multicultural education. And so there's legislation right now that's moving through the House, and we only have a few days left to the end of the session. And they're moving very well. They've been unanimously supported in every committee that these bills have been presented. The trick now is to make sure that there's an appropriation or a certain amount of money tied to each one of these pieces of legislation. And so let me just break down several different areas of where these pieces of legislation exist. The main focus is teacher preparation and support for young people who are choosing education and bilingual education as their carrera, as their career. There's several pieces of several bills there that are going to be passed to help support new teachers and the teacher preparation pathway. There's also a bill, House Bill 199, that focuses, it's going to develop a study group to develop a biliteracy framework for the state. Right now, we have a literacy framework statewide that only focuses on English or a monolingual approach to literacy development. And what we need is a biliteracy or a multiliteracies framework that provides guidance for all programs that strive to develop two or more languages. So that could be a world language program, could be a bilingual multicultural education program. Maybe it's an oral literacy program that one of the tribes have started that actually don't fall under any specific program model that the public ed department puts forth. It could be American Sign Language. It could be special education programs. So we're really excited by that bill, House Bill 199. We're also very excited by House Bill 221, which focuses on getting our regional education collaboratives a sum of money that they can build their own instructional leadership capacity so that they can actually train their own teachers and continue to support their own teachers in culturally and linguistic responsive instruction. Now, that sounds like something that should be very, very basic, but our regional education collaboratives serve 68 of our 89 school districts here in this state, the majority of the districts, and those districts are all rural and very small school districts, have very limited resources. So the idea about developing instructional capacity around cultural and linguistic responsive instruction right there in their own backyards, if you will, we can then count on our teachers in rural New Mexico being supported in their instruction of students who require a special kind of instruction. And then the last bill that I'll just mention is House Bill 153. It's a funding bill. If it passes, it will double the amount of funding that we are generating and distributing in our state for bilingual education programs. If a school decides to implement a bilingual education program, it actually receives additional funds in order to do so. The issue has been since 1994 is that the funding has never been sufficient. And so for the first time since 1994, we will see an increase in the bilingual funding unit that is currently in our funding formula. The amount of money that that would require is about $38 million additional dollars that would be going out there. Speaking of rural and smaller districts in New Mexico, a lot of those districts don't even generate enough money through a bilingual education program to pay for a full teacher. These districts are very small. They have, some of them have under 200 students. So this would actually help them consider starting a bilingual program or helping to sustain one over the long haul.
Thank you for sharing that important information with our community. What is your message to lawmakers regarding bilingual and multicultural educational programs in New Mexico?
I don't know a single elected official in the Roundhouse in Santa Fe, New Mexico, that wouldn't say that bilingual education is important. Every single one of them says it. And they usually say it with some sort of story about su abuela, que le enseñaba, que le hablaba en español, or they have some incredible story from their experience growing up on the reservation. It's part of every elected official's heart. But where it may be part of their heart, it's not a part of their political will, and that is that they have done nothing. As I mentioned before, in the last 25 years, we've only had one real piece of legislation that was passed in order to strengthen bilingual education. So I'm just asking, and I'm asking everyone when they speak to their representatives, and it's just so important that we have a relationship with our representatives, that we make sure that we spend some time talking about that, those heartstrings and how bilingual, multicultural education is something that is near and dear to our hearts, but let's make it near and dear to our pocketbooks as well and to our budgets. We have to make sure that we have the right policy and the right initiatives in place, and it has to be fully funded if we really are to see bilingual, multicultural education survive and thrive here in our great state.
Where can our community find more information about the legislation?
Thank you for that. You know, Dual Language Ed of New Mexico is a proud, proud founding member of the coalition that's known as Transform Education New Mexico. So I would encourage anyone and everyone to go to Transform Education New Mexico. Just Google that and it'll come up, and you'll find our multicultural foundation framework that's there, as well as all of the pieces of legislation that we've been able to develop with our policymakers and with our leadership in the public ed department. And just gain more information about how we work. The coalition is always looking for new members. We're over 20 organizations now and growing. Although it looks like we're going to be successful this legislative session in getting some important legislation passed, the fight is not over. We have a 60-day coming up next year, and we know it's going to be there's a number of other pieces of legislation that are going to have to be put into place. So join us.
And where can people find out more about dual language education of New Mexico?
So that URL I know off the top of my head, that's dlenm.org. And please go there. It's an incredible clearinghouse of resources that we have for schools, districts, state education agencies that are looking to start a dual language program or strengthen their dual language program. There's a lot of free resources that you can find there, as well as information about what we do in, as a service provider to schools and districts. We're in schools and districts 365 days of the year, all over the United States, mostly in New Mexico, but we have people right now who are in Juneau, Alaska, working with Native populations there. We just signed a contract with the Department of Ed in Hawaii. Please don't feel too badly for us. We are working all over the country, and we try to share the best practices that we identify through our clearinghouse. So please go to dlenm.org, and also don't forget to look at what's coming up in our new annual convention, La Cosecha, which will be held in Santa Fe this year, November 4th through the 7th.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Just that you hear a lot these days in the media about a teacher shortage that we're facing. It's not a shortage, it's a crisis. And so I just want to reach out and encourage all young people, from the very young to those who are now in middle high school thinking about their future careers, and just offer any help possible that they may need in order to consider and then choose to become a teacher. It's a great profession. It's gotten a bad rap over the last couple decades, and we find ourselves not being able to attract young people as well as we did 20 or 30 years ago. So I just want to put that out there. There's a lot of opportunity. It's a wonderful profession to be a teacher. And right now there's a lot of opportunities to help support young people who want to get into the profession and are looking for scholarship help, mentorship help. There are all kinds of programs available. And you can find me and my 19 other colleagues who work at Dual Language Education right there at dlenm.org. And we'd all love to talk to you about joining us in this incredible profession. So thank you.
Te quiero agradecer por todo el trabajo que estás haciendo, por nosotros, por los estudiantes que hablamos español, por los estudiantes que hablan inglés, pero que tal vez quieren aprender un poco más. Y gracias por educar a nuestra comunidad acerca de lo que está pasando en la sesión legislativa.
Bueno, gracias. Adelante.
For Generation Justice, I'm Bárbara Ramírez.
Thank you, David, for your advocacy and the good work that you do to improve our educational system.
Thank you again, David. This next song speaks about the power of music to move all people, regardless of location or background. Here is Mi Gente by J Balvin, Willie Williams, and Beyoncé.
Si el ritmo te lleva a mover la cabeza, ya empezamos como es. Mi música no discrimina a nadie, así que vamos a romper.
Con lo mío todos se mueven, la fiesta la llevo en mis genes. Yo soy la arena de los nenes, mi gente no se detiene, aquí nadie se quiere ir. Si el ritmo está en tu cabeza, ahora suéltate y mueve.
We hope you have enjoyed this hour of Community Voice. We would like to thank our guests, Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza, Zoe Hughes, and David Rogers.
Tonight's Hour of Radio was produced by Kateri Zuni and Roberta Rael, and thank you to our interviewers, Brenna Tubers and Barbara Ramirez.
We want to give a big shout-out to all of our youth producers. We could not do what we do without you. Generation Justice would also like to thank KUNM for bringing the voices of young people to you, KUNM listeners.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcasts, which are also available on SoundCloud and iTunes.
We're also active on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the Con Alma Health Foundation, and of course, all of you, who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
Generation Justice would like to remind you that this program was broadcast on Stolen Indigenous Land.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. Our last songs of the night include Speaking My Language by Common King and Sweet Time by Ravina. I'm Lily Lukow.
And I'm Riazullah Alikozai. Coming up on KUNM is Spoken Word, so stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Good night, New Mexico.
Speaking my language, reading each other's lips, don't need a sound. Two hearts together beating loud, never lost in translation, like we're on a vacation. Understand each other so clearly now, you're speaking my language, hear me out. Don't need no Rosetta Stone, no, no need no interpreter, no.
Two birds on the window, Sunday morning limbo. I'm dancing in a big room. I got so accustomed, sweeter words and discussion. My temper's cooling.